You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Do you have any announcements this morning? Well, if there are no other announcements, the scripture reading today is going to be in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this registration was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we do come before you this morning with a joyful heart, great desire to please you in all that we do. We can't do that apart from daily, minute-by-minute fellowship with your Son, the one who loved us, and loved us, and loved us, and loved us. And your Spirit, the teacher, the presenter, the bringer to the mind and to the heart and to the soul and to the conscience, the greatness of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. So, Father, with that heart desire this morning, as we look into the history of Christmas carols that speak so eloquently of this time of celebration, we pray, Father, that you be honored. We pray that our hearts be built up and that our faith be encouraged and strengthened, and that we might bring honor and glory to you this time of year and every aspect of our life. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're not going to be looking much at Scripture. In fact, I'm not going to look at Scripture at all. If you want to grab a book, grab your hymn book and put it beside you, because that's what we're going to look at. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to spend a little time looking at the history of some of the songs. If you want to, in your blue book, look at number 92. This is O Little Town of Bethlehem. And then we're going to sing the song. And we're going to sing all the verses of it. I want you to remember that the men who wrote these songs are men who had a deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Men whose hearts had been changed. Men whose lives reflected the love of Christ. Men who studied the Scriptures, because in the carols that we sing this morning, we find so much of the truth. Notice there at O Little Town of Bethlehem on page 92 on the left hand, the top side, we have a fellow named Phillips Brooks. Phillips Brooks was a rector at the Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia in the mid-1800s. In 1865, his church decided to give him a pilgrimage to the Middle East. They paid his way. Oh, now there's a there's a novel idea. Y'all are a little slow, but you did catch on. And while over there, he happened to be in Jerusalem in the last 2 weeks of the year of 1865. And while he was there, he ventured to walk the roads that our Lord walked in the days of his flesh. And at Christmas Eve, he found himself in Bethlehem. And it was a still night. It was quiet. It was peaceful. He even writes about that in the first stanza. O little town of Bethlehem, what? How still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. He didn't think of those words at that time. When he came back to the United States, it was 2 years later that he wrote, O little town of Bethlehem. This man was a great preacher. He gave a series of sermons at Yale at the Divinity School. And in 1877, his book of sermons was published. It was entitled On Preaching. He is often, this Phillips Brooks, referred to as the prince of the pulpit. And this Christmas carol that he penned has been one of America's outstanding songs that little children love to sing. What he did, in 1868, on Christmas Eve, they were having a pageant or a program at their church in Philadelphia. And Brooks took a copy of this newly written carol and he gave it to his organist, this Sunday school superintendent, and you see his name on the right-hand side, Lewis Redner. And Lewis Redner composed a simple melody that children can easily sing. He struggled with it, but then the light came on in the middle of the night and he woke up and he wrote the melody. And it's this song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, that they sang that Christmas morning. You can stay seated, but let's sing it. And Emmanuel was the name that she gave him. He was given his name by his father, Joseph, as Jesus. The next psalm we're going to look at, and you can turn to page 86, is Away in a Manger. Now, many people believe that this song was written by Martin Luther. In fact, in the old hymn book that we used to have, we have Martin Luther at the top left and the top right. Now here they have it anonymous, verses 1 and 2, and then they have verse 3 by McFarlane. And the guy on the right, James Murray, is a fellow they know wrote the tune to it. And there's some question about where he got the tune, but let's not worry about this. When this was first published, it was in the 1800s, in 1885. Of course, Luther, you know who Martin Luther is. He was a German reformer. I didn't know this about him, but the man was extremely gifted. Not just could he write, and not did he stand strong and firm for the truth of the Scriptures, but he could play musical instruments, he could write musical songs, and of course you know some of the songs that he's written. One of them is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which comes from the Psalms. But Luther was in the 1500s, so Luther obviously, if this was first brought to our attention in the 1800s, Luther probably was not the writer, and today the anonymous is pretty much generally assumed to be the one who wrote that. Guy wrote a lot of songs. But how it got to be thought of as him was that it was put into a songbook in the 1800s by a guy named J.C. File in Philadelphia. And that songbook was called The Little Children's Book for Schools and Families. And then it was put into another book by a fellow named Murray, who you see on the right-hand side. He published Luther's Cradle Hymn, and thus creating the misconception that Martin Luther wrote the book. But more importantly is a guy named Kirkpatrick. William J. Kirkpatrick. You ever heard of him? Yeah, I know you have. William J. Kirkpatrick wrote the melody that goes with this song. And he is a guy who's written a lot of song music. Didn't write the songs, but he wrote the music for the songs. And he was the son of a school teacher and a musician. And Kirkpatrick grew up in a musical atmosphere. But his father was, I think, a carpenter by trade, and so he had to learn to be a carpenter. But his love was for the music, and he learned and studied music more than he did his mechanics, being a carpenter. And so in 1855, he joined the Wharton School of Methodist Episcopal Church music. Well, no, the Methodist Episcopal Church in Philadelphia, and from then on devoted himself mostly to sacred music. He studied voice under Professor T. Bishop, then a leading oratorio and ballad singer, and he became a member of the Harmonia and Handel and Haydn Sacred Music Societies. You familiar with names like Handel and Haydn? And that's where he developed his skills. Now, you know this guy has written some songs, or you know some of the songs, music, that he's written. Here's one that he wrote, the music to, Blessed Be the Name. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Another one is a familiar song by Louisa Steed. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." He wrote the music to that. "Just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er." He wrote the music to that. Now, there's a couple of Fanny Crosby songs that he wrote the music to. You know, she wrote a lot of songs, and two of those are Redeemed. Is that redeemed? Okay, you all know that. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, another one is, He hideth my soul. Now, you all know where He hideth the soul, and you know where that comes from. That comes from Moses back there in Exodus. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Another one is a song written by Priscilla Owens. This guy really must have had a tremendous impact because of all the songs that he wrote. In fact, I don't know if we have an index back here, but I don't know if he appears in the index of our songbook. A lot of the writers do, but I don't think any of the music people do. They 496. Page 496. His name is William J. Kirkpatrick, and H-I-J-K-K. Oh yeah, bottom side on the left. Look at all the songs that are attributed to him as being the writer of the music. Amazing guy. Amazing guy. Well, Priscilla Owens is another song, wrote another song that he wrote the music to, and it's called We Have an Anchor. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Let's stand. No, let's don't stand. Y'all want to stand? Let's stand and sing Away in a Manger. Music by William J. Kirkpatrick. Oh, I'm loving this. I love this. I love these songs. I mean, carols teach Scripture. And, you know, a lot of times there's an opportunity to witness just because of Christmas carols. It doesn't take a lot just to ask somebody after they've sung a Christmas carol, do you really believe that? Do you ever wonder what kind of response you'll get? Well, do it. And then come back and let me know. Turn to page 85. Oh, you're right there. Silent Night. Silent Night. Silent Night, you notice on the right-hand side, here's this guy named Franz Gruber. I love you, Lisa. You just Franz Gruber, born in 1787, was the son of a linen weaver. Gruber learned the violin against his father's wishes, but he then studied organ under George Hardobler. He taught school at Arnsdorf, Austria. And in 1816, he began playing the organ at the St. Nicholas Church in Oberndorf, which is in Austria. Later, he served as headmaster in Berndorf and played the organ and directed the choir at Halian. He's said to have composed over 90 musical pieces. Now, when he was at the St. Nicholas Church in Oberndorf, he met this guy on the left-hand side named Joseph Moore. Joseph Moore wrote this song, Silent Night. It was a poem that he wrote in 1816. He was an Austrian priest, and it was on Christmas Eve, and he was in the small Alpine village in Oberndorf. And it is reputed that the organ at the St. Nicholas Church had broken. So Moore gave the poem, Silent Night, to his friend Gruber, and the melody for Silent Night was composed with this in mind. The music to Silent Night was therefore intended for a guitar, it says, and the simple score was finished in time for midnight mass. Silent Night is the most famous Christmas carol of all time. You can stay seated, but we're going to sing Silent Night. The Son of God loves pure light. He came in order to dispel the darkness that was in the world and to give mankind light. This man, Joseph Moore, it's an amazing little story about him. He was ill health. And so he was sent to Salzburg, Austria, for hospitalization. When he recovered, he was then assigned to the church at St. Nicholas in Oberndorf. And it's amazing how God works little things out in life, isn't it? We're going to see that in just a little bit about another fella who was ill.
Is it talked about in there a Silent Night having different versions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, there's different tunes, different ways of singing. In fact, I think I saw four on the web when I was searching on the internet. There was four different people who wrote. This obviously is the most famous and the one that most people sing.
I was following the red book and I couldn't follow it.
Oh, yeah. We're in a blue book.
Okay. I thought Silent Night was Silent Night, but I'm there.
Yeah. He's gone right on us. He's turned conservative. He's in the red book. We're all in the blues. Uh-oh.
Hey,
I like that. Okay, this one, turn to page 87, Joy to the World. If you need a blue book, there's probably another one on a bench behind you. But okay, I see. This was written by Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts, his dad was a nonconformist. There's another guy that comes to my mind as I think of nonconformist. Now, nonconformists were against the Church of England because they felt like there hadn't been enough of the putting away of the Catholic Church, the Romanism. And so the nonconformists said, you know, the Church of England is spending too much time or involving itself too much with some of the old grave clothes of Romanism, and we have come out of Romanism, and we don't want to participate in that anymore. There's a guy named John Bunyan, who was a nonconformist. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with Pilgrim's Progress. And John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, had the same problems. It says here that you can pick up almost any modern hymnal. You can look in the index, like we just did, looking up Kirkpatrick, and listing of the composers of the hymns, and the name Watts, Isaac, has a long list of hymns beside it. Watts wrote over 600 hymns, and many of them continue to be used by English-speaking Christians to worship and praise the same Savior Watts loved and served. Now listen, Watts was the other guy I was talking about that got sick. In 1699, he became an assistant minister at Mark Lane Independent Congregational Church in London. He became the full pastor in 1702. But his health failed in 1712, and he was invited to spend a week at the home of a wealthy dissenter, Sir Thomas Abney, in Hertfordshire. And he ended up staying there for the rest of his life, devoting his life to the writing to all of his writing. He wrote lots of stuff. He wrote Logic for the Right Use of Reason and the Inquiry After Truth. Now, If I were to give you a title to something you're going to write, and I said the title is going to be Logic, or the Right Use of Reason in the Inquiry After Truth, I'd love to see what you had to write. I couldn't get past the title. So deep. But believe it or not, that book was used as a standard text in Oxford for generations. His poems and songs for children were extremely popular and honestly became the parody of cynical people during his time. Lewis Carroll in his book, everybody know Alice in Wonderland, makes stinging little remarks about some of the things that this fellow, Isaac Watts, wrote, some of the things that he wrote. Now, to the right, you see that the music is written by a guy, George Handel. Everybody knows George Handel. George Handel perhaps may be the greatest composer of all time. Beethoven, at his grave, said, "I doff my hat and I bow my knees to the greatest composer the world has ever known." Handel is a guy who wrote Messiah. And in Messiah, we have the Hallelujah chorus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one who wrote this music of this song, Joy to the World. Let's sing it. Page 87. I'll tell you, you know...
That choir practice
9 and 6. Yeah. Handel wrote the music to that. That's amazing. I tell you, right there, you don't know this. There's so much history in this song. At the time, the Church of England was being led by Calvinists who were much slower in how they presented their songs. And they didn't borrow their songs out of what men wrote. They took them right out of the Psalms, out of the Scriptures. But the Lutherans at this time, the Lutherans were a little more lively. And a little more, let's write some new songs. And so what you just sang was really kind of a melding of that, because Watts, and you notice kind of how slow, you want to go a little quicker with the tempo and everything? It's not, it's written to go like Betty was playing. It's written to go just a little bit slower than what we want, because that's that Calvinist influence. And then there's that Lutheran influence that came with Mr. Watts and his writing. That's amazing. Just little things you can learn. Just spend 30 minutes or 45 minutes studying one thing. Now, the last one we're going to sing. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Isaac Watts also wrote these songs. "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day." That's Isaac Watts wrote that. He also wrote, "Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." And then another one he wrote was, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Charles Wesley, who wrote the next song that we're going to sing, Charles Wesley said about that song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," he said, "I would gladly give up all the hymns." And he wrote 6,000 hymns. Charles Wesley, "I would gladly give up all the hymns that I have written for this one, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Okay, I've got something here I want to read real quick. "During the holiday season, I'm impressed by the amount of information concerning Jesus in the lyrics of Christmas carols that we hear on CDs, over the radio, and on television, on special programs. Joy to the World by Isaac Watts is a case in point. From four verses, we learn the following facts about our Lord and Savior. Our world should rejoice because Jesus is Lord and He has come. He is King, and every heart should make room for Him. Heaven and nature should sing His praises. Jesus reigns. He's come to provide blessings wherever the curse of sin exists." That's Joy to the World. Handel wrote the music to that. Our last one is page 93. "Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Like I said, written by Charles Wesley. I won't go too far into this. Charles and John Wesley, the children of Susanna Wesley, who gave birth to, I think, 19 children. And seven of them died in infant. And she lost two sets of twins, but an extremely godly woman. And what an impact that she had on their lives. In fact, one of the things that she did that was fascinating, Susanna Wesley, it says here, because Susanna wanted to develop a personal relationship with each child, she scheduled a private appointment with each of them once a week for encouragement. These bonds of faith and love helped them survive continual hardships. You know, that's amazing. I guess if you had that many children, you better make an appointment. Charles Wesley, along with his brother John, started what we know today as the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church. They developed a method, and they didn't really know that they were starting the Methodist Church, but they developed a method of worship that grew into the Methodist Church. Now, John was the one who wrote most of the stuff, and people give they attribute more of the development of Methodism to him than they do Charles. But Charles, really, as a true brother, you know, he was more inclined to writing songs, and he wrote over 6,000 hymns during his life. Hark the Herald, Angels Sing is one of those hymns that he wrote. And you'll notice on the right-hand side, the music is written by Felix Mendelssohn. Is that a name familiar to you? Felix Mendelssohn revived the interest in Bach. I guess, you know, the great composer Bach, after he died, his music kind of faded away. And then Mendelssohn came along and revived interest in it and in Beethoven and some of the other classical people. But Mendelssohn writes the music to this beautiful song. Let's stand and sing Hark the Herald, Angels Sing, and then we'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Lots of songs we haven't sung. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear is one. How about the First Noel? How about this one? I love this. Oh, Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. Long lay the earth in sin and error pining. Oh, until He appeared. Yeah. What child is this? What child is this? Nothing captures the glory and the mystery of Christmas more than these Christmas carols that we've sung. They have so much power to recreate, listen to this, in the imagination, the scenes of the first Christmas. Enjoy them. Sing them. Whistle them. Hum them. I don't care if you're driving in a car or standing in the shower or washing dishes at the sink or in your office or walking down the road or in the mall or whatever it's you're going to be doing this next week. Enjoy these songs and let God bless you. Let's pray. Father, do thank you for these men. These men whose lives were total sacrifices, whose all on the altar they laid, who wrote these wonderful songs, these songs and carols that touch our heart, move our soul, and lift our spirit. And you've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.